Book of Revelation, chapter 2. Several Sundays ago, we looked at in Revelation chapter 2. We looked at the church at Ephesus. Jesus sent them a letter from John. And in that letter, Jesus told about the many things they were doing that he was pleased with. But there's one thing that the Lord was disappointed about. And that was this. You're doing everything you're supposed to do, but you're not loving me like you should. Last Sunday, we talked about the church of Smyrna. It was a church that was being persecuted. It was suffering. It was a small church. And they were very poor, extremely poor people. Jesus was very pleased with that church. And he even had this to say about them. You're going to suffer some more. And the devil's going to put some of you in prison. But you know, Jesus found no fault with that church. Even with all their persecution they were having experienced, the devil was going to persecute me more in the future. Jesus allowed that to happen. He was satisfied with that church being poor and suffering. He could have done something about it, but he didn't. And today we're going to talk about another church, the church at Pergamos. Now these churches, there's seven of them here in the chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. Each one got a personal letter from Christ by John. Each one had a special message for each church and their situation. These churches were located in Asia Minor, which is today is Western Turkey. They were kind of in a semicircle of seven churches. Today at Pergamos, we're going to talk about the church that compromised. What does compromise mean? Anyone know? Huh?
Go along to get along.
Oh, that's very good. He said that's go along to get along. I believe I've heard you say that several times over the years I've known you. Go along to get along. And one of the ways that happens in our churches today is the preacher don't preach against sin. Just live like you want to, and it'll be all right. It won't be all right with the judge. So we're going to talk about the church at Pergamos. And in chapter 2, look down at verse 12. And unto the angel or the pastor of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. And God's sword cuts a going in and a coming out. Amen. I know thy works, the Lord said, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Listen to what they were having to put up with at that church. Now we're talking about real churches, just like this is a church. This is real people. like your real people. Amen?
Amen.
Back in the first century. And the Bible says, "And thou holdest fast thy name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth." So even one of their members was killed. They were persecuted too. But Jesus said, sounds like Brother Chavis's Sunday school lesson he started off this morning. "I got a few things against you." That's what Jesus said. "I have a few things against thee. Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balaam to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate," Jesus said. "Repent." "Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. Will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, wherein no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it." May God bless his word. Lord, speak to our hearts through the word of God. May we be still and listen and consider what you have to say. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm a clay vessel, helpless. So remember me. Remember our people here and challenge our hearts. Help us all to see wherein we can serve our Lord better and bring more glory to your holy name. Because I pray in the holy and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This church, Jesus described himself as the one who has the sharp two-edged sword. Just as the sword was the symbol of Roman authority and judgment, Jesus' sharp two-edged sword represents God's ultimate authority and judgment. Now at Pergamos, this city boasted a 200,000 volume library. So you see what an important city it was at one time. And only one other city had a larger library than Pergamos, and that was Alexander. The word compromise means accepting standards that are lower than is desirable. And this was what this church at Pergamos was doing. Although the Lord commended them now on some of the things they were doing, we would say in our common everyday term today, probably, we're just kind of halfway living for the Lord. Right? So are we halfway living for the Lord today? Or have I fully committed myself to the Lord? That's the issue. And no one, get this, no one but you can commit yourself fully to the Lord. No one but you.
Amen.
It's your determination. This is the kind of church that was located at Pergamos. The Word of God has the answer to man's need and man's sin. And the problem at Pergamos was too much religion in that city. Too much false religion. The only way this city could be changed would be by the Word of God. And the only one that can change any life and make that life pleasing to God is the Word of God. Only the Word of God can change us. Do you believe this is the Word of God?
Yes, sir.
Then take it as a roadmap. It's going to be sad to believe this is the Word of God and don't live by it. The church at Pergamos is representative of church history during the period of approximately 314 to 590. In other words, each one of these seven churches represents a time period over the last 2,000 years. And this church is the church in which the world entered into the church there in the first century. What do I mean by that? Worldly influence crept in to the congregation of that church and got them off center from what they should be doing and the way they should be living. And this is so easy that that can happen, and it can happen in people's lives. Outside influences can influence you and get you out of the will of the Lord if you're not careful. There are so many things today in this world that's trying to get your attention, trying to get your allegiance, to give you less time for the Lord and do the work of the Lord. Do you hear me? You know who's behind it, don't you? The devil. The devil can't do anything about you being saved, but he can make you a Christian that's not useful in the work of the Lord. And that's what he's doing in these days in which we live today with many Christian people. It was during this time in the first century, there at Pergamos, that the world entered into the church and it began to move away from the person of Christ. This letter was Christ's message to this church, and it has historical significance. Even where Satan's seat or throne is revealed, that religion was big business in Pergamos. Big business. And that Satan's, the Bible says, his headquarters was there. How would you like to live in a city that was headquarters for the devil? That's where this church was located. You know why Satan is there? Because he don't want the Lord to get recognition. This tells us that Satan is not in hell. And at the present time, it tells us in the Bible that Satan is loose today. And he's going about controlling the nations, even this nation. He's going about seeking who he may devour. And his main goal is Christians. Because he wants Christian people to have no witness for the Lord. He don't want you to have a testimony that'll honor Jesus Christ. And many Christians today are being robbed of their rewards that they could have if they had to buckle down and to live for the Lord. Since then, he may have moved his headquarters since the first century to another city. He might be in New York now, hadn't he?
Amen.
He might be in California. I tell you what, he might be at Renner too, amen? Because the Bible does say he's going about finding every opportunity he can to mess up people's lives. That's what the devil's job is, to mess up lives. And he enjoys the Christian he can mess up. And why does he mess them up? Because they're not living but a book. Not living but a book. You're living by what I want, or by what I feel, or what I think. The reason our Lord said that Satan's throne was in Pergamum was because of the heathen temples there. That city was full of heathen temples. However, of all of these temples today, they've been destroyed. Satan can't even keep his mess together, can he? All those heathen temples are tore down. But you know what's replaced it? Isaac. Isis. That's terrible, isn't it? It went from bad to worse, didn't it? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is mainly driven out. Satan's been quite successful. There is the temple of Athenaeus. There is the great temple of Caesar Augustus and Hadrian, great temple which covers quite a bit of territory, we're told. There's the great altar to Zeus with an idol on it near the palace of the king. The city of Pergamos was rotten with pagan religions with all its idol worship just everywhere. And it began to influence the church in Pergamos. You see, the Christians somehow, some of them, not all of them, but some of them, begin to compromise and get involved in that idol and idol worship. This is what the Lord is complaining about. You know, some people say, well, I'm saved by grace, therefore I can do this and I can do that. Wrong.
Amen.
We've never been given the freedom to sin against God, folks. We've never been given the freedom. We've been bought with a price. We don't even belong to ourselves. I keep telling you, we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. We're supposed to live by the Lord. And he's given us his word to live by. And if we don't live by it, we're going to pay for it. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost us. The Bible says there's two reasons for condemnation, for the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans was there. These two cults. Balaam taught Balak the way to corrupt Israel was by intermarriage with the Moabite women. Balak was scared to death of Israel. There were so many of them. So he went to this false prophet, Balaam, to ask him to come pray and curse Israel. And he tried, I'm just making it short, he tried on different attempts. He'd offer up all kind of sacrifices, but every time Balaam opened his mouth to curse God's people, he couldn't. He couldn't. But finally, he told Balak, if he could get his people to marry Israel, that would cause a breakdown. And you know what? It worked. Because after a period of time, and I believe it's chapter 25 of Numbers, after they had intermarried, gotten away from God, God judged them. And 24,000 Jews were killed because they disobeyed the Lord. They listened to a false prophet. They went against what God said to do. Folks, people are suffering today because they're doing what God said not to do. Now, God will, for a while, let everything go along. Everything will go along just like it's going along fine. Then suddenly, wham! And it's irreversible. Judgment comes. When God says something's wrong, it's wrong. The Nicolaitans, on the other hand, they were a Gnostic cult developed by Nicholas, which advanced license in matters of Christian conduct and apparently a return to religious rituals by priests, like in the Old Testament. They didn't view that everybody is a priest. Everybody that's saved in the New Testament church is a priest. You're a priest if you're saved. Man or woman, you're saved. You're a priest to the Lord to offer up sacrifices to God. And the sacrifice you to offer is praise and thanks unto the Lord. But the Nicolaitans seem to teach otherwise. Instead of being everybody is a priest, they selected men to be priest. What they were developing was, well, these people here who are priests, they're over you folks. Let me tell you something this morning. In the New Testament church, you a believer, nobody's over you but Jesus Christ. Amen. The deacon's not over you, nor the preacher. I don't tell nobody what to do. I was a deacon in a church one time. Somebody come crying to the pastor. Pastor, won't you tell so-and-so what? The preacher said, I don't tell people what to do. The Lord is the one that tells people what to do. I'm here just to preach His word. And if you want to listen, that will be for your betterment. If you don't want to listen, God will deal with you. But I'm not your boss. I'm not over yet. And that's what was going on with the Nicolaitans, it appears. Today we've got those, and I know you've seen it if you've watched TV. Maybe you even went a place. You see somebody walking around who looks like a lantern with smoke coming out of it. You ever seen that happen? And they, you know, that's their religion. They're just a, I don't know where they're trying to put the flame out or to stir it up, you know? I can't figure it out. And it's just waving it with all that religious garb on them. Saying words in Latin that nobody understands but two or three. That's religion. They're worshiping God, so they say. Well, God knows whether they are or not. Jesus said, in other words, to this church, to those members that was getting over there trying to fiddle and faddle with the idol worship, Jesus said, you better repent. Repent, he said. If you don't, I'm going to come fight against you. And I had never read in this book where anybody ever won against the Lord. Amen? Amen? What a mistake we make if we think that the church has the authority to decide what is right and what is wrong. Did you know God has not given the church the right to decide what's right and wrong? God has told us what's right and wrong by Him. Amen? We're supposed to go by this. Churches are divided today because they're trying to decide what's right and wrong. This church and no church does not decide what is right and wrong. The Word of God tells us what's right and wrong. And the true church is made up of believers in Jesus Christ, and they form what Scripture calls the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ today by the grace of God, and we are to live by this Word. If we don't live by this Word, we'll suffer the consequences. You can't compromise with I think or I won't. As it was brought out in our Sunday school lesson this morning about controlling our flesh, you read Romans chapter 6. Boy, now that really tells you about it's this old body you live in. It's demanding. When you got saved, your body didn't get changed. Your body still wants to do what God says is sin. You are the new person that's supposed to tell your body, no, God says for me not to do this. And the Bible says there's a special crown for people that can control their body. Special crown, an incorruptible crown it's called. We mentioned it last Sunday. You get a crown, the incorruptible crown, it's because you make your body obey. And don't let it do what it wants to do. That means your tongue. You can't control your tongue, but if you listen to the Word of God, it'll control it. Yes, amen? Your thoughts. The Bible tells us to bring our thoughts under control. And to do that, you better watch what you're watching and what you're thinking. Folks, I'll tell you what, since we were here last Sunday, we've moved another week closer to judgment. We're another week closer. Hey, down the road there's a judgment day, and it's not going to be moved. You're going to get to that judgment. And when you get to that judgment, What you sent on ahead is what's going to be there. Nobody else is going to send something for you to the judgment. You're sending what you're going to face at the judgment. I'm sending what I'm going to face at the judgment. You know, I've lived a pretty good time, and I've had a checking account and banking account for a pretty good long time now. You know what's funny, Brother Chape? Nobody ain't ever put any money in the bank for me. They don't ever put none in. And if I don't put some in, there's none in. And there's too few trips I'm putting it in, Brother Chaffin. You know what I'm saying? And what's down the road, right down the road there, is judgment day for you.
Amen.
And for me. And what I'm going to face at the judgment is not what he put there. It's what I put there. And you can't change it. You're going to get there. You're going to get to that judgment. It's appointed. And when you compromise living for the Lord, you're bringing judgment on yourself. Amen? If you don't live the way God says, you're just taking some more. And when you get to the judgment, it's going to be waiting right there. And the Lord's going to say, well, this is what you did. And this is what I said. Now, why didn't you go by what this said? And then I wouldn't have to give you the bad news. Are y'all listening this morning? Talk about a church like this church that compromised living the way God said to live. You're not going to get by with it. When church is at 10 o'clock, you're supposed to be here at 10 o'clock. Because the day's the Lord day, and he said, don't miss. He said, we're supposed to be in church on the Lord's day. And there's not any of us too spiritual so that we can miss. The only time I've ever been out of church was when I was in the Army. Then I'd go to whatever it was they would have. But at least I was at a place where it's supposed to be worship. I've been out a few times when I was sick. But going to church has been, I always was told you're supposed to go to church. And we're supposed to bring our tithes, our offerings, our gifts to the Lord on the Lord's Day. To support the work of the Lord. A lot of people are poor today, can't pay their bills because they don't tithe. And they don't know how to spend their money. I see people that don't know how to spend their money. Has it ever dawned on you that you don't have any money at all?
Amen. Yes, sir.
It's all the Lord's money. And let me tell you what I'm telling you. I'm trying to help you, folks. I'm telling you what this book teaches. Listen, this money God's letting you go through your hands, you're going to give account to every penny. Now, you can waste it, throw it away, do what you want to with it. He gives you that privilege. But all at the same time, what you're doing, you're building a record at the judgment. What you did with the Lord's money. What you did with the Lord's money. You see, we're all stewards. Every one of us is a steward. There's the profitable steward in the Bible and the unprofitable. And both the profitable steward and the unprofitable steward has got to go to the judgment. And the books are going to be opened up and seen how we use the Lord's money. How you using the Lord's money? How you living the life the Lord gives you to live? You can't compromise and get by. The Lord said, repent. What does that mean? Repent means you were going this way and you found out that's wrong and you go back this way. Amen. This is the right way.
Amen.
That's what repent is. It's a 180 degree. Repent. And if you don't, he said, I'm going to come with this two-edged sword. And what happens? People are sick that shouldn't have been. They got problems they shouldn't have. Now, that don't mean that everybody's not going to have problems. We are in this old sin cursed world. But these are additional things. Why? We didn't repent, and we were compromising living the life the Lord wanted me to live. Be sure your sins will find you out, God said in Numbers. What a mistake if we think that we can get by with our sin. The true church is made up of believers in Jesus Christ, and we are the body of Christ, and we're to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be living so others will see the way. And if we're going to be lights in the dark world, we must be careful to identify with the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said those who lived a victorious life that he was going to give them a reward. And they include hidden manna, a white stone, and a new name. And I don't understand that. And I've looked in all kind of commentaries, and they don't know neither. Not fully. But whatever it is, it means it's going to be good. Maybe it's going to be great if we live a life that's not compromising. What about the challenge today? Today is a good day if you're not living a life that pleases the Lord. Today's a good day to get started on it, ain't it? Today's a good day to get started on it. Folks, what we need to do is feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the bread of life. And just love him and serve him. Because it's like the judgment. There's no way to get around. You got to face him. I got to face him. And the Word of God was given to all of us to help us to be able to face the Lord and hear Him say, "It's possible. Well done, my good and faithful servant." You know what? I believe that that would be the most wonderful reward a person could ever get. Just to hear the words from the mouth of the Lord say, "Well done." What could be better than that? What could be better than hear Him say, "Well done"? Because He knew how you had to struggle in a world that's cursed with sin. And that you have put up a good fight. "I fought a good fight," Paul said. I challenge you, because I want all my people to enter into the Lord's presence and hear Him say, "Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant." Loving God, speak to hearts today. Challenge hearts. Oh God, help us to ponder our ways. Help us to visualize there's a judgment day, and I got to be there. I will be there. And may I begin to prepare. And may I repent of any and all sin. That I might hear my Lord say, "Well done," when I come before Him. I pray in Jesus' precious saving name. Amen and amen. Today is a day to get in the center of the Lord's will. Today is the day to make changes in lives. Today is the day to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if you've not. Or He's already paid for all. You're seeing all of them, praise God. I like that word, all. That's one of my favorite words. All sin has been paid for. Are you ready to step out in faith and commit all you are to the Lord? To live the way the Lord says to live? What about it?